Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Thank you very much for that reading. Good morning again, and happy to see you again. I bring you greetings from Anita and the children. And we've been praying for ourselves and for every one of us. And we are trusting God that his perfect will will continue to be done in our lives. So I'm happy to be with us again today. I've always remembered everyone. And I've spoken with some this morning, and I will still afterwards continue to chat, you know, with us. Yeah, so this morning I want to bring us God's word. Before then, it's obvious that I was born in Nigeria. I know you know that, you remember that. And I'm going to show you some pictures from my hometown, Omuahia, and also some pictures I'll kind of make connection with what I'm about to say. But do you feel like a saint, a saint in Christ? Because Paul writes to the church in Philippi and calling them saints in Christ. You know, as we enter the new year, as Judy had mentioned, I think, it's sometimes a time to take stock of what had happened and then make resolutions. Some people don't like, you know, making resolutions, some do, but I don't think it matters. But sometimes we tend to kind of ponder on some unfinished business from the previous year, probably in our business life, in our spiritual life, and on around. And we tend to kind of think, what has worked, what hasn't worked? But I believe God is working in all of us. We are kind of, I like to describe myself as a work in progress. And as I do that, something in me tells me, you also have to be mindful that others too are also works in progress and extend grace to them, right? When you look in yourself and you consider yourself as kind of someone that God is doing some work in his life and her life, you also extend grace to others. And sometimes we might remember all those things and feel discouraged. We are human. And sometimes we might feel incomplete, like the pictures I will show us. And sometimes we might feel that, well, I'm not there yet. I want to be somewhere, but I'm not there yet. But I like to believe that God will finish his work in our lives. The good work he has begun, he will complete them in our lives. So I was born in Omuahia, Nigeria. If you want to join me next Christmas, I will go show you around. But first of all, I'll show you. That's the major street in my hometown. You can Google this. It's a very, very nice place. It's an ancient town in Nigeria, and it was at the heart of the. I'm not sure if you've read about the civil war that happened in the late 60s and early 70s in Nigeria. Has anyone read anything or heard about that? So this was the heart of that world. Millions of people. I think they say about 3 million people died, and most of them from my place, from my tribe. I see, like I was telling Dev yesterday, I think it was last night, about my uncles. I still remember their names being mentioned every now and then. They went out and they never came home. But anyway, that's Omar here. And there is one common sight that is quite, you know, like everywhere, unfinished buildings. Incomplete. It's quite everywhere you go, you see it's a common sight. And I never realized how sorry this place was until I came here. I don't think I've seen any unfinished or incomplete building in Sheffield or in Reading. I don't think. And sometimes you see people kind of living in them even while they are still under construction. It's everywhere, you know, incomplete buildings. And this is part of the town, and also an incomplete building, and they are just everywhere. And sometimes we might feel that there are some things in our lives that are yet to be completed. But I want to kind of believe the word of God that when God starts a project, he doesn't behave like this. He completes it. He makes sure that he completes it. And I don't know if you can, please, can we read together? This is from the New King James Version. Is that okay? Let's read. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's powerful, isn't it? He has begun a good work in us. Remember, he did his work for us when he died on the cross, but the work begins in us when we accept him as our Lord and personal Savior. And when he begins that, the Spirit of the living God will work in us to complete it. But what he is saying here, the apostle, is that he is confident that this work that the Lord has begun in our lives, that he will complete it. He is sure that the Lord will complete it. Writing to the church in Philippi, and we are told that this was his very personal letter to this church. It wasn't for circulation to other churches like the Ephesians, which was circulated to other churches, but this was written specifically for this church. And he had this kind of connection with this church. And we are told that the church began during his second missionary journey. You remember in Acts chapter 16, especially from verse 11, you remember the story of the young girl that was possessed by an evil spirit of divination. You remember the story? And the girl went about, you know, proclaiming, these are the prophets of God, these are, you know, the men of God, and blah, blah, blah. And the apostle, he was just moved in the spirit and looked at her and addressed the spirit, and the spirit went off. And we are told that she was like a slave, you know, to her masters, who made much gain from what she was doing and everything. But anyway, they landed in prison, and you remember the story as they prayed, as they sang, and all that. But the church began when the jailer received Christ, and they took the gospel to his home. And so we are told that happened during his second missionary journey. And I believe at that time he was, you know, moving around with his volunteers. You will remember he always went around with Timothy and Silas and sometimes with Luke. And he also he sends his messages also through another guy called Epaphroditus. These were his volunteers whom he moved around with. And he is now writing to encourage these people. And you see that this epistle has been termed as the epistle of joy, because you see joy, you know, mentioned everywhere especially when he says he remembers them with joy in his heart. And when I was praying this morning, something in me asked me, do people remember you with joy when they think about you wherever you are? You know, what do they remember you with? Or do they remember you with regrets or with joy? But he remembers them with joy because of their partnership, their fellowship, their participation with him during all his missionary journey. And he writes to them to encourage them. And it's interesting because he writes to them and introduces himself and Timothy as born servants of Jesus Christ. Unlike the other epistles that he, introduces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, he didn't need to do that because these were people who already loved him so much. And he was talking to personal friends, people who already never had any doubts about his apostleship and about his calling. He didn't need to do that to introduce himself. I am Bishop Henry. Do you know me? I am Apostle Henry. But he introduces himself simply as born servants of Jesus Christ. Now, he writes to them, introducing Timothy. And both of them were doulos of Christ, slaves of Christ, born servants of Christ. And they were not slaves to flesh, and they were not like the slave girl who was enslaved by the master, but they were slaves of Christ, born servants of Jesus Christ. I think we should all be slaves of Christ, servants of Christ, and not of ourselves. When we believe, we should consider ourselves as those who do the will of God, as it were, not what we wish to do. And so I think that's what the apostle says there, that he himself and Timothy are born servants of Jesus Christ. And he writes to them, to all of you, saints in Christ. And that's why I asked us, do you feel like a saint sometimes? How do you feel about yourself? Do you feel that there are still some things that are unfinished in my life? You know what? God sees us differently. Sometimes we look down on ourselves because we've set some high marks and we are not there yet. And we don't forgive ourselves and all that, but he looks at us differently because he remembers the price that Christ paid on the cross for us, and he sees us with the way he wants us to be, and he's working in our lives. And so to all of you in Christ Jesus, I think the church was the first church to be established in the European continent. In a place now in the, southeast Greece, Macedonia in those days, was the first church and full of non-Jewish believers. And he needed to remind them, yes, you are not Jews, right? But you are saints in Christ because you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he writes with the bishops and deacons. In some countries, people are titled crazy. People, because of the status they have in the church or in the society, they're kind of bigger than themselves and bigger than everyone. But Paul is interesting the order. He writes to the saints in Christ and the bishops and elders. He didn't begin by saying, well, I write to the bishops and the elders and the saints in Christ. Well, if you were an elder, bishops are just elders, leadership team, and deacons are those in the church who serve, the leadership support team, and everyone. They are not more important than the rest of us, right? They are part of the whole. So Paul is writing to everyone and calling us saints in Christ because God has started something special in our lives. He has begun his good work in us, and he's working it out daily in our lives. Grace and peace. It might sound insignificant in our technologically advanced society and big and bright culture. It might sound, what is grace and truth? They are just, you know, tiny, tiny things. But grace and peace signify the daily presence of God in our lives. And grace used to be a Greek greeting, and peace used to be a Hebrew salutation. Well, if you've received emails from me, most times I ended with the word shalom, grace, shalom. So grace and peace working in our lives prepares us for our daily struggles. You know, when we go through two things in life, the grace of God, which is the action of God in our lives, the activity of God in our lives, and peace, which is our response to the action of God and our experience of the grace of God. And for me, and I think this is my interpretation, they have to walk in our lives in that order, in that sequence. There wouldn't be any peace if there is no grace in our lives, right? And that's what I believe. The grace of God has saved me, and how do I respond? Well, peace is not the absence of trouble. We all know that. It's not as if when I receive the grace of God, all my troubles run away. But it means that I have that quiet assurance that His presence is with me because He has done His grace in my life. I always call it self-contained happiness. That's what I describe as peace. Self-contained because it's not about what happens around me, but it's more about what happens within me. It's how I respond to what happens outside with the assurance of what has happened and what continues to happen in my life. But grace and peace. And He says, where is it from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not from my ancestry. It's not from all the accounts and back account. It's not because I have 3 degrees and 3 PhDs. It's not because I was born in Nigeria or in Britain. It's from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not from, you know, family background. It's not from all of those things. But grace and peace is from the Lord Jesus Christ. Never paid anything for them. And what I couldn't have afforded them, but is from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No matter where we are from, grace and peace has been given to us. No matter who we are, grace and peace. It's what I pray for every day, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, not as the world gives, that it will walk in my life. That the peace of God will walk in my life. That I've received the grace of God. And sometimes, personally, when I look back, all right, there are things in my life that if it were to be given because of, you know, where you're from, the family background, I would have been the least of them. But it's by the grace of God. Whatever we are today is by the grace of God from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, don't give up. That's what I will say. Because when we feel discouraged, let's remember that He has given us His grace and His peace will continue to work in our lives. Praise God. I will conclude with a story. I suspect most of us must have heard about what happened between Billy Graham and about Einstein. You must have heard the story. Towards the end of his life, we were told that Dr. Graham was invited by his council, the home council, for kind of a reception or something like that. And then he went all dressed up very well. And then he told a story about Mr. Einstein. Once upon a time, about Einstein was traveling, I don't know where from, somewhere from London to somewhere, and he bought his ticket all right, but he misplaced the ticket somewhere. And so he, in the train, and they went around checking people, making sure they had their tickets on them, and he was looking for his he's throwing tickets everywhere. He couldn't find them. So the lady said, "Oh, I'll come back later." Went on, you know, checking orders and came back again. He was still looking for his ticket. I said, "Sir, what are you doing?" I'm just looking for my..." "Oh, don't worry. I know who you are. I know who you are, so I'm sure you must have purchased your train ticket." And so she went on again, you know, checking orders, coming back again. He was still looking for... I said, "Mr. Einstein, don't worry. I've told you. I know who you are. I trust you. I know you've purchased a ticket." He looked up and said, "Young lady, the problem is not that you don't know me, you don't trust me, but I don't know where I'm going." "I was searching for my tickets too. I just forgot where I was going. I know who I am, but I don't know where I'm going. So I need to find the tickets so that I know where I'm going." And so I remember in the story, Dr. Graham said, "Well, I'm not like Einstein. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going, because his work is in my life. He has started a good work in me. I know that he will bring it to a successful end, because I know where I'm going. I know who I am, and I know where I'm going." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have begun in our lives. Thank you, gracious Lord, for the work that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, and the work that he is doing in us, beginning from the time we accepted the Lord as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to continue this work, to continue this journey, to continue to form in us the nature of Christ. Lord, we thank you because you see us differently as saints in Christ Jesus, holy people set apart, called out from darkness. We are not part of darkness. We are the children of light. We thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. We pray, oh gracious Lord, that you will continue to build us up, Lord, with your grace and peace every day of our lives. When we go through things, oh Lord, through struggles, when we pass through issues in life, may you remind us of your daily presence in our lives. We pray, oh gracious Lord, for those who are feeling discouraged this morning, those who are feeling that, "Oh gracious Lord, I don't know what is happening with me." We pray that you, of Spirit, will speak in their hearts, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to walk in our lives. Heavenly Father, above all, may you use us as your instruments of bringing this grace and peace to people around us wherever we go. We thank you because we are not like the unfinished buildings. We are not like the incomplete buildings, but you have begun a good work. You will fulfill it. The promises you've given us, Lord, for 2023, we believe you will fulfill them. The prophecies you've given us as a church, we believe you will bring them to fulfillment. We thank you, Lord, because we know who we are. And we know where we are going. We know we are with Jesus. And we know heaven is our target. Heavenly Lord, we thank you for your word. May your name alone be lifted high. We praise you, Jehovah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.